Or they're busy at their daily work. They're making a living, out there fishing. And then at the same time, they had their own ideas about what kind of life they were making for themselves. We know that Peter was married. But then Jesus comes along and says, follow me. Jesus comes to where they are working. We know two basic facts about Christ and his call. First of all, he meets us where we are. He knows everything about us. The hairs on our head, the struggles that we're going through. He's the same test that we're going through. And he meets us where we are. We've seen that with Zacchaeus. We've seen that with the leper. We've seen that with all the people that he healed and he did miracles with. He meets us in our time of need. God knows what we need. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient for the day is the what? Evil thereof. So God knows what we need. We need him.
Amen.
We need him beyond anything. And so it's a time of a beginning of ministry. And God wants to take you out of being busy for you and being busy for him. Their hearts had to be prepared for the call. Because you know what? It says here, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In verse 20, it says, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. It was an instantaneous thing. There was no planning involved. They were ready to do this. Folks, God's calling us. Are we ready? But we talked about this morning about how many times that we say, well, let's do it on a more convenient day. Let me get my life in order. No, God knows you need those things. He just says, follow me. John and James says they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Their hearts have to be prepared. If you're not ready to do what God wants you to do right now, your heart's not prepared. You need to check your relationship with Christ. You need to understand whether or not you're really, really ready. You know, Christ in all of his parables, he talked about being ready, being ready, being ready. Do the will of the Father. Do what glorifies him. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace that passeth understanding should cause us to always be listening to Jesus. And when we hear his call, we need to go. We need to go. I hope that God will use us this year in a mighty way. Amen. I'm still hoping that someone will be called out of this church to go be a missionary.
Amen.
You know, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Well, we're all old. No, we're not. No, Moses was old.
Right.
He was older than you, Ricky. Okay? Joshua and Caleb, they were old. But they were faithful, and God used them, and God gave them the ability to do that. So we see the follow me of faith that they were busy at the daily work. Christ met them where they were. Their hearts were prepared, and they heard the call. Have you heard the follow me of faith? See, the Christian life begins and continues in faith. There's the faith to live. In Romans chapter 1 verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? From faith to faith. It's just not a one-time event. It's something that grows. Peter said this, give all diligence. Add to your what? Faith. Faith. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We've been going through Psalms. Psalm 119. And last Wednesday night, we talked about that the Word of God should cause us to want to know more about God, which drives us to the Word of God, which makes us want to know more about God. And that's how you go from faith to faith. It's the faith to live. It says that the just shall live by what?
Faith.
It's faith to win. It's the actual belief that we can win at this. We live defeated at times. We live discouraged at times. We live in dismay at times. Not this year! Not this year! We have faith to win. And this, for whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. The Christian life begins and continues with faith. It's faith to have eternal life. It's faith to live a life and walk with Him. It's faith to have a goal and to win. It's faith to focus. It's faith to focus. We know the story of Christ, them in the boat, the disciples in the boat with Christ, and there's a storm. And they thought that they were going to die when Jesus said that they were already getting to the other side. They were going to go to the other side. God never said it'd be easy. God never said there'd be no storms. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, when they were at the end of their rope, Christ says this, and He said unto them, "Why are ye fearful? Why are you fearful? You are in the presence of Me. You're in the presence of the Son of God. God in the flesh."
Amen.
Why are you fearful? Folks, why are we fearful when we have the Creator God of the universe on our side? Right. We're going to win.
Amen.
We're going to win. Why are ye fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. You know why you have little faith? Because you don't exercise. We don't go from faith to faith. Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See, this morning David was talking about faith and fear. And here's the whole point. As faith increases, fear should decrease. As faith increases, fear should decrease. Things that make us scared should make us scared anymore. Because we know that we got God on our side. So the first thing that Peter had to learn, along with all the disciples, along with us, is that we have to follow Christ. It's the follow me of faith. And then there's the follow me of fishing for men. And he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Unfortunately, this is a neglected call in our church. You know, if everybody just invited one person to church and they came, we would double in size in 1 week. If they did the same thing, we would quadruple in size in 2 weeks. If everybody did the same thing, we would be 8 times in 3 weeks. It's 2 to the x power, to put that math in there. It's a geometric progression. And one day I was talking to a gentleman out here on the parking lot on Saturday. And we were going through the need to be saved. And I was witnessing to him. And he said, "Well, why all these people that don't know God?" I said, "It's because we just don't do what we're supposed to do." Folks, you know, if we just had this geometric progression, we just invited somebody, within a matter of months, the entire world could be evangelized. It's not that hard of a task. It's not an impossible task. But with men, these things are not possible. But God, all things are possible. This is the neglected call. We need to understand what Christ feels about this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says this, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We should never be ashamed of being a Christian.
Right.
We should never be ashamed of knowing, having a relationship with Jesus Christ. But we are, "Well, I'll be a silent witness." No! No, don't be a silent witness. We need to speak the truth and love. It goes on and says, if you won't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father. So, I'm excited that there are people in here that want to follow this call. But it is a neglected call in the world today. We pray for revival. But do we have the faith that revival can occur? And then do we have the follow-up on it that we would actually be part of it? That's the issue. This is a neglected call. The results of neglect are sad. There's no joy. People get all wound up in programs instead of getting wound up in the people. And as we talked about this morning, that was the problem, I believe, with the church at Ephesus. They had left their first love. Christ loves souls. We need to love souls too. We need to love souls too. See, the results of neglect is nothing gets done. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without someone saying something?
Right.
Well, it's the preacher's job. See, he's right there. It's the preacher. No, it's everybody's job. Right. He called these fishermen. He didn't go down to the synagogue. He didn't go down to the theology institute and say, come all you degreed people and come out. He went to fishermen and said, I'll make you fishers of men.
Right.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's us, folks. That's us. But the follow me of fishing for men is often neglected. The results of neglect, that people die and go to hell. And we think that we're all right, but we're not. You know, there's a cure for it. Do the first works. As what Christ told the church at Ephesus. You know, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's joy with us when we sow and we reap. In Psalm chapter 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall what? Doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know the reason we don't do this is because we don't believe we can. We don't believe that we have the faith that God will be with us and give us the right words to say. That's the first reason. Second reason, we don't know our Bible. We don't know what to say. And if you don't know what to say, then how do you know it anyway? So there's joy in sowing and reaping. You know, converts, not convicts, okay? Converts bring joy.
Amen.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica and he says this. He says, for what is our hope? Or what? Joy. Or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Ye are our glory and joy. People lead other people to Christ. It's not programs. You can have an evangelistic program, but it better get down to an issue of people leading people to Christ. Because that's how God did it. And how do you think we're so much smarter than Jesus? He just went down the seashore and said, come with me. Well, I don't know what people think. Just invite someone to church.
Yep.
Just invite them. You'll be surprised what they'll say. What they'll do. So there's the follow me of faith. There's the follow me of fishing for men. Then there's the follow me of full surrender. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We need to understand the context of this. The context of this answer to his disciples was that Peter rebelled at the news of the cross. It says earlier in that chapter, it says, "Then at that time he began to talk about going to Jerusalem, getting crucified." And in Matthew 16, verse 22, he says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And then Christ says this. See, this issue of follow me is a recurring call. Follow me in faith. Follow me in witnessing. Follow me in full surrender. We're not going to change God's plans. We're going to execute them. We can be the instruments to make God's plan happen. It's the Lord's call for self-denial. How does this call affect us today? Well, I don't want to be bothered by it. I watched a thing on a Christian network about people saying they just don't want to share the gospel because people would get offended. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God does not change. Faith does not change. The commission does not change. The commandments do not change. God's word does not change. Truth does not change. Self-denial is still Christ's call. Full surrender will go from faith to faith and bring complete victory. So there's the follow me of faith. There's the follow me of becoming fishers of men. There's the follow me of full surrender. And then there's the follow me of focusing on Jesus. You know, Satan can't take your salvation away, but he can sure take you away from working for him, for God. In John chapter 21, verse 22, the last part of that book of John's gospel says, Jesus said unto him, that him's Peter, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." You know, we need to be reminded that we need to follow God. That's what it is. See, the issue is that Peter learns what he will do for Christ. If you turn over there in verses 18 and 19, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, Follow me. Follow me, when even you know what the end is. And it may not look the way that you want it to look. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, said to Jesus, And Lord, what shall this man do? Don't worry about what other people do or don't do. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We answer to God alone. Because if we have a relationship with God, and it's right, everything else would be fine. We will be doing what we're supposed to do. Other people will do what they're supposed to do. But Peter takes his eyes off Christ again, and he's just all worried about what John would do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Christ said, "Do you love me?" three times. You know, Peter, I'm the same person that called you off of the boat. I'm the same person that called you to be fishers of men. I'm the same person that you walked with for 3 years and you've seen the power of God work through me. I'm the same person that told you the plan of God for redemption. I'm the same person that gave you that message. Why do you keep on taking your eyes off of me? See, we need to keep our focus on Jesus, but it's so easily distracted. We see Lord's answer to Peter. What? Follow me. He says here, he says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Christ. Amen. We all need to follow Christ. And we need to follow His truth. So tonight, what is your response to the Lord's call? Maybe you need to be called to faith, saving faith. Maybe you don't know Him as your Savior. Maybe you died right now, you don't know if you go to heaven. Get that straightened away tonight.
Amen.
I have a verse of invitation. Come, we can show you from God's Word how you get saved. But here's the point. Jesus Christ came to do all this, to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins, and was buried and rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God because He's God. He was all man. He was all God.
Amen.
And as God, He says, I can forgive your sins because I paid your sin debt for you. I can give you eternal life. You just have to ask. Believing. In faith. In faith. Maybe we've been hearing the need. This is a new year. What a great time to recommit to Christ. What a good, great time to recommit to God and do what He wants us to and follow Him all the way. Have you responded to the Lord's call? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, we just ask You for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know You, Lord, I just pray that this would be the time of their salvation. Father, help us, Lord, to be committed anew and afresh, Lord, to witnessing to people. Help us, Lord, to be committed anew and afresh to having a full surrender of our life. Father, help us, Lord, to keep our focus on You and not on other things and not to get distracted by things that will take us off of looking to the prize, looking to the goal. Lord, help us.